This is episode 14, Packard Pokes At. Where in the world is Eric San Diego?
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everybody, or good morning, whenever you listen to this. How is everybody doing tonight? We are just going back to our regular audio for this evening. Because I put too much stress on the computer last week, and I think I broke the internet.
It couldn't handle the picture of your face.
Oh, that's what it was. I told you that camera just loved Dan.
take that however you want.
Eric has a new Twitter name. I've been getting several messages going, "Oh, did you replace Eric? What did you do with that poor SOB?" No.
yeah, that sounds more like it.
We chopped him into little pieces, and we fed him to the sharks, and there was some for skew. Eric just changed his name. Eric, would you tell everybody what your new handle is, and tell everybody why and what prompted you to change it, and what kind of difficulties you had?
All right, so I have a new Twitter handle. It's I Have No Thoughts. That seems to be my tagline for the show.
That's a good tagline for you.
You see, it's kind of like a de facto excuse for everything, you know?
Yeah,
if I'm wrong about something, I could be like, I have no thoughts. What more do you expect of me? It's kind of like Jon Stewart's, I'm just a comedian, you know?
Right, yeah. So what happened? As I understand it, you said you couldn't get your old Twitter to change, and you lost all your followers, and
What happened was I've been fighting for some oddball reason. Twitter did not want me to change any of my settings.
It liked you.
It liked me, and then it always told me that my email address was not a valid email address, and I'm like, oh my god. So in the process of trying to figure things out, I somehow managed to delete my account. Don't ask me how. Right. Again, I have no thoughts, so I'm using that as my excuse here. So I deleted my account, and Packard and I have been talking about changing my Twitter name because it's not a very easy Twitter name to remember, so I'm hoping this is a whole lot more easier to remember.
Yeah.
And so I settled on, so I was like playing around trying to think about what name I would use and all that good stuff, and all of a sudden I typed in I Have No Thoughts, and sure enough, no one actually took that.
I am deeply surprised.
So I'm like, score. So I end up picking it up, and I have to create a dummy AOL account in order, dummy AOL email account. That's how desperate I was to actually get this thing.
Oh, jeez.
And even whenever I did that,
you could have just opened up another Gmail account, and you would have at least
I know, but you know, it's like it's kind of like like I said. I remember once whenever we were on PC Max Smackdown,
yeah,
and we still had Rachel on, and you know, I said that I had a Hotmail account, and everybody kind of made fun of me about it. But the thing is like, you know, I kind of look at AOL in a very similar fashion, where it's like AOL and Hotmail are where emails go to die.
That's about it.
Yeah, so you know that, and that's really what I'm using the account for. So. Like I said, I got the name. I thought it was kind of, like I said, since it was like a little tagline that I've been kind of using on the show, I figured it would be a nice little funny gesture kind of thing. So for all you who listen to the show and, you know, really care about things that I say, which, you know, like I saw in Packard earlier, I'm sure his fan base tend not to follow my fan base. So
they're stalking you, Eric.
If you do care, go ahead and follow.
Yeah, he has very few followers on his I Have No Thoughts. So anybody who's wondering what I did with the old Eric, this is the old Eric, just new name. Okay, well, we should get on with the show. Now, the tech news has been a little bizarre this week. I actually had 4 good stories, and I don't know if I'm going to cover them all, but there's a couple I do want to get to. This one here, Bill Gates. All right, Apple reinvented the phone. We agree on that?
Yes.
Okay. Bill Gates wants to reinvent the toilet. There's the old joke. It's like the robbers took the police's toilet, or and what could they catch it? No, they had nothing to go on.
Exactly.
Why is Bill Gates changing? What more could you do to it? I mean, all right, if you've ever seen or been to another country, they're some places they have their toiletries are completely different than what ours are. But and we're used to the certain centers
for proper abdominal bowel health.
That's what I've heard.
American toilets are too high.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, that there was something wrong with American toilets, that there's something with for the bowels. It's like I'm trying to figure out what it was. So, but
a squatting position is supposed to be much healthier, in that, you know, you don't have to strain.
This one comedian said, when you go into the big stall there, there's those handlebars on there. Those are for when you really have to go. Those aren't just there for, you know, the people in the wheelchair. You just hold on to them, like, ah!
So. Yep.
Eric, I have no thoughts. What are your thoughts on this?
Okay, so I'm actually, like, kind of reading the story, and I understand what he's trying to do with it. It's not so much the invention of a toilet as much as, from what I'm understanding, going into, like, these third world countries where they don't have the proper sewage or water necessary to be able to power these toilets. So it's about trying to facilitate those needs to try and prevent a lot of disease, diarrhea, and stuff like that.
Right.
From occurring. And also, it seems that there evidently, from the article that I'm reading, it says that there are a lot of places where girls have to go and do things in public because they're scared that they're going to be raped or
raped, assaulted,
and other things by using these toilets and stuff like that. So in that sense, it's good. It'll be funny to see what Microsoft does. I mean, can you imagine the box of a Microsoft toilet? And wouldn't it be funny if like it tweets what you do?
Patron number one did a number two.
Suddenly we have a whole new perspective of Packard Sonic.
Patron number one did a number two.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a little strange. Dan, more thought. Do you have any other thoughts on this?
I have no thoughts.
Excellent. Our next tech story there. Now, Dan, there's Eric, you have there's an old I don't know if it's a wives' tale, maybe real, but when it deal with radiation, people always say if we had a nuclear attack, what people would do is they would supposed to plant tobacco across the ground or whatever. It's supposed to leach out. That's what I was told anyway. It's supposed to leach out the radiation. You can't smoke it, obviously, but it would leach out the radiation out of the soil.
Whatever. Now, if you have a strong enough addiction, I'm pretty sure radiation poisoning isn't going to stop it. Think about like some of those marijuana people. I'm pretty sure they'll figure out ways of smoking it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, That's what they say. You're not supposed to. But over in Japan, obviously they don't have the room to do this. So what they're doing over there is they're actually planting sunflower seeds to help remove the radioactive materials from the soil. It's an ingenious idea. They take up a lot less space, and they grow so much better. Thoughts on this, gentlemen?
I'll go ahead and let
Dan.
From what I'm seeing, it's like tobacco. The plant itself is a good indicator of radiation contamination.
Uh-huh.
You know, contaminated soil is going to have to be dealt with in one way or another. It's good that we have some smaller scale things to try it on right now, rather than, you know,
global.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But yeah, hey, anything's worth a shot.
Right. I can't imagine. Now, my big question is, once these plants have leached out the radiation, okay, what do they do with the plants? Obviously, they can't burn those. Do they bury them? You know, they give them to the birds? I don't know what they would do with them. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, it's like any radioactive material that you have left over from whatever process, you have storage and disposal to worry about afterwards.
Yeah. Look at the sunny flowers. And by the way, here's some sunglasses.
I think we ought to do the Space 1999 thing and, you know...
Oh, put it all up on the moon, watch the moon...
Yeah, heck yeah.
A few months ago, I got to watch the entire series from the first one to the last one. And
So cool.
I was actually kind of disappointed in some of the storylines. It was just... Well, it's another time for another discussion. It's just there was a lot of religious aspects behind a lot of it, and it just like, oh, really? I mean, this is the kind of things I grew up to. No wonder people are indoctrinated because of this stuff. But anyway, that's, like I said, that's a whole other kettle of fish for another time. We'll do one more quick one. Google is adding malware warnings to search results. Now, this is very helpful, but the problem is that sometimes, and I've haven't come across, is that sometimes someone can put in a warning that says this site is giving malware when they really don't, because they don't like their policy or their belief or whatever. There's a atheist site I've visited a few times, and it kept saying, this site has malware on it. It's like, no, it doesn't. I'm quite certain it doesn't. And I've contacted the author of the site and said, hey, you know, Google is reporting this to you. So, but your thoughts on this, gentleman? Eric?
Well, you shouldn't be looking at porn on the internet and claim it's an atheist site. I'm just saying, Packard.
I'd like the boobies. What do you want?
No, the thing is, I think this is very good that Google is trying very hard to keep its people safe. But, you know, that being said, you should also be very, very careful about things such as what you're describing, where, you know, you may have a site that someone doesn't agree with, i.e. Mabus, and, you know, he does something like that in order to take the site down.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very good thing, but Google has to be very, very careful, because, I mean, can you think of what would happen if... I'm pretty sure they wouldn't do it to, like, a CNET or something like that, but can you imagine what would happen if an accident like that does occur?
Oh, yeah.
Because then now you're talking about loss of revenue.
Oh, yeah.
And that can be a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah.
So use it wisely.
Yeah. Actually, Chaos Agent reminded me in the chat room that I actually had this happen to me. I was about ready to head to bed, and someone said, I sent it to my website. Someone asked me about something, and I sent it to my website. And they say, you're trying to send me to a malware site. It's like, excuse me? No, this is my personal site. There's no malware on there. And it took over an hour away from my valuable sleep time and with help from the people on Twitter, thank you very much, everybody. The Chaos Agent was one of the people who helped me, I believe.
And thank you, 4chan. I love the 4chan people. Please don't, you know.
Well, these people were on my side that night. Anyway, they told this person, hey, there's no malware on this person's site. It's a false warning. But it does happen from time to time for whatever reason. Dan, your thoughts?
That particular instance was because your site is a subdomain.
Yes.
On the, is it WordPress?
Yes. That's on WordPress.
One particular subdomain, someone had set up a blog for whatever nefarious purposes, and that particular blog was distributing malware. All of a sudden, whatever software the guy was using, quite possibly McAfee Site Advisor is one, it flagged the entire WordPress.com domain as containing malware.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Actually, I've had experience with an e-commerce site being blocked with Site Advisor, and had to deal with them in not very friendly ways sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they pretty much say, well, you know, prove you don't have malware.
It's not for me to prove, you know.
Yeah. So, you click the button, you take your chances.
Yeah. Fortunately, there are on the site, when they give you this warning, they say, hey, this site's, you can still continue, at least.
Exactly.
At least there's that. They don't block it out completely, so you can't get to it in one way or the other. But it, so you do, if you do get this warning, you do take your chances. The other way to minimize that chances are to get something like a Mac or Linux, and or just have your or stay off the internet altogether. Of course, there that's always an option. Windows, of course, has gotten better with their yeah, that too.
got better with their coffee.
Yes, it got better with coffee. They're gotten better with their anti-malware and antivirus stuff too. Okay. Last thoughts, gentlemen? Yes? No? Crickets?
Nah.
Okay. I have no thoughts.
All right. That's Eric, I have no thoughts at Twitter. Politics, 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 politics. Now, Eric has dropped this one in there because I recognize his handiwork on here.
Woohoo!
Claire McSkill does the payback taxes on his plane. And obviously this is a Republican story.
Ooh.
Slam! Ooh! No.
You know, I'd like to let everyone know we've been, Dan and I have been going back and forth on Google Plus. And one of the things that we're slowly starting to realize is that we're kind of starting to agree on things.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we should be worried about this or not.
Well, we can't. There are always going to be those particular places we're going to agree, and we're not going to agree. But anyway, Eric, bring us up to speed on what on this plane that he's talking about.
Well, it's Claire McCaskill. Democrat from, I think it's Missouri.
Yeah. Well, there explains it all. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, just a real quick thing. You know, whenever it comes to politics, you know, a friend and I were discussing this, and, you know, she used to be staunch Democrat, and I used to be staunch Republican.
You mean you're not staunch Republican anymore?
No, actually, if I'm either side, I tend to favor more of a libertarian view, where it's like I just don't want government in any aspect, whether it's financial or social.
You know, the thing is, though, when people that say that, they say, I don't want the government involved, they're usually the first ones to cry when the dam breaks down the road and their house gets washed away. Help me, please! Where's
more,
that government?
More libertarian view is so much where it's like, okay, so... You know, with the dam and stuff like that, that comes from public works and things of that sort.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
I know that.
There's some things that government can do. But for the most part, what a libertarian believes from everything that I've read is that government should be involved in another person's life until those rights until that person infringes upon another person's rights. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, but it's also kind of... I don't know. It's just to me, it seems like it's kind of like saying you don't want them to do involved until they do. It's just kind of convoluted. Either they're there or they're not there. I mean, you can't have it both ways, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and I'm not saying that government doesn't serve its purpose. That's, you know, government does have a purpose. I've always believed that, and I mean, don't get me wrong. The thing is how much involvement government should have in our lives in determining it, and that's where the debate comes from.
Right.
But anyhow,
let's get back to the story.
I'm sorry. One of the things that annoys me more than anything, and I don't care what side it is, this time it just happens to be a Democrat who does this, is whenever we have people who say one thing and do another.
Yeah.
And this tends to follow all politicians. So usually a starting point with a lot of Democrats and stuff like that is they always want to raise taxes on the rich, including themselves, because they are part of wealthy people, and because they always say, well, you know, we have too much money and we need to give money back.
Well, I don't see, you know, if giving back is not a problem. If they want to give back, then...
Trust me, I've always said, look, if you feel like you're making too much money, I don't think anyone is going to stop you from writing a slightly bigger check to IRS.
I'm sorry, I just want to break in here some breaking news.
Oh, is it Norway?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tragic, man. My prayers and thoughts to y'all. I'm sorry.
My breaking news sound is obviously not working. But anyway, there was a... I thought I had that fixed. At least 80 people are dead as a result of the shooting rampage at the Utoya Islands. Police now saying on Saturday. Of course, they're over the time zone, so they're in Saturday now. So, That's really tragic that's going on over there. For anybody that's not up to speed on this, there was a bombing and a shooting or a youth camp that was over there, and they are suspecting that they are they're connected in some way. I'm sorry. Eric, please go ahead.
You know, that tends to be a big sticking point. In fact, you know, we have the debate on raising the debt ceiling, and that's one of the sticking points on either side, is if we should raise taxes or not. So anyhow, Claire McCaskill, and just to say, like I said, Claire McCaskill got caught. A couple other popular Democrats have also got caught doing similar things, not reporting everything on their tax forms that they should be. Barney Frank, I think, also did it. I think it's Barney Frank who also pulled something similar. But basically what happens is they have to file this form for taxes saying everything that they own and all the property that they have to claim and stuff like this.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Claire McCaskill did not report is that she bought a private plane. And she didn't report that on her 2006 taxes. And so now it's coming back. And now she's trying to amend, and this is what I hate, is that they're allowed to amend their taxes. It's either you pay it or you don't, you know. So it's kind of creating a small little scandal, and like I said, it's infuriating to me, because here's someone who tells us, you know, we should all be making sacrifices and paying a little bit more. But whenever it comes to her own personal self, she finds the loopholes. You know, it's like, if you want us to sacrifice, be the leader that you should be and show us how it's done.
Yeah, well,
you know? And I also agree with you, Chaos Agent. Yes, like Newt Gingrich, and yes, like
Claire. Newt Gingrich. Don't get me started on Newt Gingrich. he is a piece of work. He says, "Oh, I'm not in debt." He's actually, his campaign's actually over $1 million in debt right now.
Yeah, and actually,
he is a joke. Along with most of these other Republican people, that the only people that they're focusing on are the people. Some of them that are not even technically running. Luke Perry. What's his name?
I'd vote for Luke Perry.
Palenty, I think it's the one.
Not Palenty. What's his name down
Ron
in Texas?
No.
No, the guy down, Governor of Texas. What's his name?
Oh, Perry.
Ron Perry. Perry.
Yeah.
Something.
Rick Perry.
Rick Perry. See, I had the Perry part right. I just said the first name wrong, and Rick Perry. But he's not even technically running yet, and now and people are focusing on him, and Sarah Palin has not even said that she's announced, has not even announced yet. And they announced that she's has yet come out. And people are still chasing after her about this.
Well, that's because, you know, the media are a bunch of, I look at media as being dogs chasing cars, is all it is.
Rough.
But, you know, I made a comment to Dan about Newt, and basically I said, I'm not going to entrust a man to a government that already has a huge deficit if he can't even control his own campaign spending.
Yeah, exactly. And he claims he doesn't even have one when he actually does. And people are jumping ship on his ballot.
Yeah, I didn't foresee him. I didn't foresee him being a true contender.
He wasn't. I think he just did this as a scam. Because everything he's done since he's left the office that he was in has been a scam. He's scamming people out of money. He's just trying to keep his own wealth going. And
he left office?
His position, not the office.
Oh, it was like since he left grade school, but
yeah. possibly. But I mean, for the position he had, I think he was Speaker of the House at one time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Speaker of the House during the
during
Clinton had 2 years of Democrat control, and then after that, it was all Republican control of the House, and I think possibly the Senate. May have to check me on that one.
I'm not really sure off the top of my head, but I think you might be correct on that. And that seems how it runs usually.
I know they had both houses at some point during the Clinton administration. I don't remember if they maintained it.
Right. I'm not really sure myself
but
on that.
Anyway, back to if you are a politician, please be honest. You know, that I think that's really what the public really wants by this point in time. I mean, if you look at all the stats and statistics on public opinion whenever it comes to House and Congress, it's very low. And the reason why is because we don't have honest politicians who actually stick up for what they believe. Both sides are beholden to some form of lobbying, to some form of government. Right. Or not government, corporation.
Yeah.
You know? And that's a problem. You know, it's like, I feel that they no longer care about the people until it comes to election season. Then they go to populist pandering to get votes, and that's the problem that I have. I want someone who's honest, who honestly cares about the people, and honestly wants to do right for the country.
Yeah, I like Chaos's response in the chat room. It said, "Politician honest, politician or honest, pick one." Anyway, we do need to get moving on here. Dan, do you have any thoughts on this?
Claire McCaskill's a hypocrite like so many of the others. She was behind this legislation earlier in the year that federal employees who were behind more than a certain amount in their back taxes should automatically be fired. And it's like, well, guess what? You should lose your job under those rules. She's like any of a number of politicians. I mean, yes. You know, she's paying back, you know, $287,000 in 4 years of back taxes. I'd like to have that much in 4 years of, you know, income.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like that's like that one person, I forget his name off the top of my head. He changed all these rules so people who don't have driver's license can't vote, and then he got pulled over for OWI with a hooker in his next to him, and he lost his license, and now, well, he's out of office now, but he's pushing this law while he had his driver's license revoked. So some of these people are really kind of crazy.
It's not real.
It's hypocritical.
Yeah. It is. Yes. Very much so.
All right. Moving on.
Give me the news.
Now, this one here.
Wait, before we go any further.
Yeah.
I have one more story in politics.
Well,
we're over. But
it would be
me taking tasks to Republicans. So go ahead.
Okay, we'll take care of it next week then.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this one, I think, since we already mentioned the tobacco, I thought you would actually get a kick out of this, Eric. That they've actually genetically modified tobacco to fight HIV. Now, of all the things that you could do with tobacco, that's not one of the things I really had in my mind. Now, if I don't smoke, I came from a family of smokers, but this makes me wonder if this is something that's going to be used. That people is this going to something they're going to smoke in, or is this just they're going to extract? I mean, thoughts on this? Gentlemen. Eric.
Well, it gives the anti-smoking lobbyists something to fight over.
Yes, it does.
No, the thing is that I'm happy we're starting to find means of fighting this horrible, horrible disease, especially like in third world countries and stuff like that, where, you know, it's horrible. So for this, I'm happy that they're going to find it. I say tax it. Let's pay for children's health care, like I always say. Let's make this stuff happen. You know, it's just like, I don't know if you reported it or not. They had a story not that long ago about a man who they found, I know we discussed it, but about a man who, they replaced the bone marrow.
Oh yeah. I did throw that out there, about 3 weeks ago. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, it shows how wonderful science is getting. And, you know, I know people don't want to pay the high cost of medicine and stuff like that, but in some ways, by paying the cost of medicine, this is the research that we get from it.
Oh yeah, well, yeah.
So it's kind of like a catch-22, you know.
Well, for hospitals, I don't see it quite so much, but that's just me. But I mean, for research, I can see paying extra for the research. Dan, your thoughts?
I read a blog, a science blog by Abby Smith, ERV, Endogenous Retrovirus. She does genetic testing and work in HIV research.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to keep up with some of the stuff going on. It's like a big mystery thriller a lot of the time to see some of the stuff that they're working on.
Oh, yeah.
It's really pretty intense.
Yes, it is. It's kind of cool how they're finding new ways to use old materials and stuff that they would have never thought of using before. It just kind of blows my mind. Next quick story. This was I found this story after we had gotten done off the show from last week. But Sears, on their website, mistakenly advertised iPads, I believe it was the iPad 2, for $69.
Talk about mess up. Someone lost his job that day.
Oh, yeah, I'd say.
Wine me, dine me, 69 me.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other podcast. No, it turns out they didn't. I read this very thoroughly. What happened was that they did not. They found, as soon as they found out the mistake, because a lot of people were ordering these things, and they went through and said, "Oh, well, we're not gonna honor any of the orders," and they refunded all the monies to everybody, which I think is kind of disingenuous. I mean, they posted the price. They should have, you know, they change it later, but you know, they should. I think, in my mind, they should still honor those prices until they change it back to the original price. You know, even if whether it was one person or 100%, if they lose money, that's their fault. That's not a consumer's fault. Dan, Eric, you've been going first. Eric, Dan, you go. What's your thoughts on this?
They've usually got a disclaimer on the website, terms and conditions, that you know they're not liable for errors in things like the pricing. And something like this, it should be quite obvious to someone shopping for an iPad that $69 is not the correct price.
Yeah.
And, you know, like any other advertising, you know, you'll see something in the Sunday paper. If the price is wrong on it, they don't have to honor that price. There's, you know, sometimes there's a sign posted on the door to an establishment that, you know, on such and such a date in this paper, the price for this item was listed incorrectly as this. The correct price is this.
Yeah, that's, yeah, they do. I have seen that. I mean, I've gone into stores myself personally, and I've gotten deals on stuff because it was either A, in the wrong place, and it had the wrong and it had the wrong price on it, or the old sales tag was up and they honored the sale price. And
yeah.
So, but that's just me, of course. Eric, your thoughts?
I come from a public relations background, so I'm going to say from a public relations standpoint, you don't want to do this, Sears, because now you have bad publicity. And I know Dan just talked about the terms of service and all that good stuff, but how many people actually read that?
That's a good point.
You know, what they're going to see is that they made a mistake and they are no longer honoring that price. And from a PR standpoint, you are not winning any customers. And what I think is going to end up happening is people will more than likely turn away from them. You know, they may lose customers over this. You know, yeah. I could tell you this. I already don't shop at Sears, so I'm not one to really speak.
I actually used to work at Sears at one time, and we had these price matching things. You found something in the store and there's a certain price wrong, you have to give them the price or less or something like that. I don't know. It was a long time ago, but it was really strange. But go on, Eric. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, it's just bad. It's bad publicity because, you know, that's what they're going to see. Big company ripping off people off of their mistake. And I would say this, you know, I don't know how many of these units they would have had to sell. But maybe say, okay, well, the first 400 or 500 people will go ahead and we'll honor the price for, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing. So that way it's like you're not really taking a hit, but at the same time, you know, you're at least creating somewhat of a goodwill.
Yeah, that's what I would suggest. At least, you know, honor at least some of them. It may not have to honor all of them, but at least some of them would not have been a bad idea, at least on their part. One other one we'll do, and then we'll get moving on here. It turns out, this is a study that, okay, this is, everybody, I just want, especially the ladies in the chat room that are listening, this is a study I didn't fund this, I can't, two, I just happened to come across this, and I didn't go out looking to it, it fell into my lap, so we're clear on that, because I don't want to get a lot of, like, yeah, yes, no, never mind, anyway, women are actually bigger sexters than men. Now, most women will say that guys are just we're just pigs. But it turns out that women are actually the ones that are actually more engaging on this than the guys are. I think, my opinion, because women use language a lot better than us guys. I mean, guys use about 6,000 words a day on average. I believe, I could be wrong in that number. Women use at least twice that amount per day. So to me, this is not completely out of line with the balance between how they think and how they react, and especially when they're using words. They're going to be more descriptive or more apt to want to use all those words that's locked up inside their heads. And us guys, we kind of dribble half of our words out the door before we get home. But we get home off of work, it's food, eat, sleep, night. That's it.
Scratch butt.
Scratch butt, yeah. What's on TV,
that in there.
Beer, football, baseball, golf, or whatever, you know. That is like, that's why a guy comes over with a good steak. Yeah. To quote Tim Allen. Anyway, thoughts on this, Dan?
Women are more verbal than men are. Men
yes.
are rather visually oriented, and, you know, like you said, Og the caveman had a three-word vocabulary, and that was just fine. That's all the women needed from him.
Now it seems like they need so much more.
That's I have no thoughts, Eric, on Twitter.
That's right.
No, that's Eric. I have no thoughts on Twitter.
Notice how I have no thoughts, so y'all can't blame me. Can't blame me.
Anyway, Dad, go ahead. You were saying.
I mean, it's understandable. You know, like I said, women and men do not think alike. Women are more verbally oriented, and it makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I mean, it because women use their language more fluently, better than we do. Obviously, there's like the old saying: you don't get into an argument with a woman, you just it's like you can't. It was actually from episode of Farscape. They're battling some monster, and he goes. She tried to convince Aaron not to do so. He goes, "You can't argue with a woman." Boom. Eric, your thoughts?
I'm gonna start having a new policy whenever it comes to women issues.
Okay.
Okay, you ready for this?
Okay.
Since there's no way to win it, I'm not gonna even try. So take it for what it is.
So you've already thrown up the white flag. Surrender.
That's right.
I surrender.
To this. There's no way to win it. You know, I'm just gonna say Dan summed it up perfectly.
I think that in any relationship there should be dialogue both ways.
Yes.
Either way, even if we end up resorting to grunting. Which is,
even though we lose, they like
we'll lose. Yes, guys, we're gonna lose the argument no matter what. But we'll eventually get results.
No. I remember that dialogue is very important. But the two most important words,
yes, dear,
yes, dear, no, dear. What if you say, dear? Then they start. Do I have horns on my head? No.
Yes, dear.
To make y'all laugh a little bit, my soon-to-be father-in-law passed me on this wonderful piece of advice. And since we have Chaos Agent in the chat room, you know, she'll be a perfect person to tell me if it's good or not. He says, every morning I wake up and I say, I'm sorry for everything I'm about to do and I will do. And then my dad said, before you go to bed, you say, I'm sorry for everything I have done. So I look at it as if you say it both in the morning and at night, you have yourself covered.
Yeah, well, I can't always agree with that. But one more last quick one because we're starting to run long. Philadelphia is defying pedestrians for texting while walking. I mean, this has got to be the stupidest thing I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of stupid things out here on the internet. How are they going to enforce this? You see someone just... They're going to be driving by their... The cops this hard up for cash that they're going to see people walking down the street not bothering anybody, and they just have to look at their phone to reply to a text, and they decide to keep walking. They're keeping an eye on where they're going, and they just decide they stop for maybe a moment or to continue their way, and they're texting, and they get fined. I mean, are they this hard up for cash? Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's pretty stupid myself. You know, you can justify giving someone a ticket for jaywalking. You can justify giving someone a ticket for riding a bicycle on the sidewalk. I don't think they can really justify this. It's like, you know, why not make a law? You know, like who was it? Dennis Leary always used to have. He wanted a stupid law.
Oh yeah.
It's like you saw somebody doing stupid. Stupid law, $5. Come on, pay up.
I don't think I've heard that one.
You know, it's like I saw that. That was really stupid. That was absolutely stupid. $5. Come
Give
on.
Me $5. Yeah.
You know, people would stop being so stupid all the time. But you can't legislate intelligence.
No, you can't. Oh, well, if we could legislate intelligence, everybody that's in the Senate and the House would be gone.
Damn right. They should be.
All of them should be gone. Or would be gone. They'd all be in thought jail. But that covers religion. Anyway, I'm just kidding. That is basically religion, thought jail. Eric, your thoughts on this new rule, law, whatever they're pulling off over there.
Okay, I'm kind of two minds of it, and on one side, is it a stupid rule? Yes. I'll give this example. Down here, we have a rule with the sagging pants, where if they catch you, it's not here in Lafayette, but it's
I heard about this.
Yeah, where if you have sagging pants, they fine you. Now, my take on it is that I want them to have sagging pants because when they try and run from the law, they get tripped up in it. So I fully support sagging pants. But it's still a stupid law.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
I'm going to say I think it is a stupid law, but here's the issue. And I think this is where I don't actually see the law, but I'm hoping that this is what they have in mind. People are texting, and whenever you're close to streets or stuff like that, you're not always aware of what's going on around you because you're so focused into the phone. I mean, you know, some people have iPhones, which, according to Windows, takes all their attention away. And, you know, it's like basically you look at the Windows commercial right there with all the people, you know, in trance. You have car accidents and all that stuff going on, and you know, and really and truly, if I were to create a law like this, my intention would be, okay, well, if someone's crossing the street, they may not be paying attention to a car flying down the road, because we do have jerks who drive
and run stop,
you know,
signs,
and they may cause an accident or hit someone and have deaths. I'm hoping that's what the intent of it is.
You know, honestly, I think if they made a modification, if they said, if you're caught texting while in a crosswalk,
yes,
I would have, actually, you know what, I would have no problem with that. If you're crossing a street and in a crosswalk and you're texting, busted. Okay, because you're out.
That was really stupid. $5.
$5, right? That's you're out in the street. You're out where the cars are. The cars, the semis, the whatever. But you're on. If you're on side streets, as long as you do not enter the street, you're safe. I mean, if you walk into a lamppost, that's your own fault. Really.
There's something to be said for natural selection.
The Darwinian law and the Darwinian awards. Okay, well, all right, let's get moving on to our next favorite portion. Oh, yeah! We have been covering the Ten Commandments. Finally coming up to number 10.
I'm starting to wonder what Packard's going to throw in there now that we finish with the Ten Commandments.
Oh, you don't even want to go there. There are stories I've been coming across that I wanted to throw in there, but and replace this segment, but or replace in this what we've been doing. But I was like, no, I'm going to stay on the course, and we're going to complete this little journey, and we have finally come to our last one. the thou shalt not covet. Well, this is a in my opinion, this is stupid, because coveting helps the, as George Carlin said, helps the economy. If you got your neighbor's got a dildo that plays "Oh Come All Ye Faithful," you want one too. because basically, but that quote is basically right. If George next door has a new car, you kind of making your old Saturn POS from 19 whenever or 2000 whatever, and it looks kind of run down. You're like, I think I should get a new car, and it helps bring up the property values and the whole nine yards. So I think this is the stupidest of all the ones that are on there besides the first one. This has got to be one of the stupidest commandments in the whole Ten Commandments. I mean, really. Dan, your thoughts on this?
It's a control thing. It's unlike some of the others that were a crime of action. This one's a thought crime. It's like it's a sin. It's against the commandments to actually desire something that isn't yours. And it's like, well, what's up with that? You know, everything's for sale. It's just a matter of price,
right?
And if you want it, you want it. You know, it's like it's trying to force you to deny your own emotions,
right?
And like I said, it's a control issue, right. And you know, that's I don't see it as anything more.
You know, I just like a quick thought wrote that if they were actually a Christian nation and we actually followed this, we wouldn't have commercials, because they make you want the stuff that's on there. That would be coveting. You see a car on TV, whatever, you're coveting. Oh, I want that car. That's a covet, folks. That's a covet. Of course, that's why some people say, well, that's why I don't watch TV. And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
But the command is specifically anything which is your neighbor's.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's what I was I was waiting for my turn. But that's what I was going to say.
That, you know, it's okay if you and your neighbors get together and go to the other side of town and take everything that belongs to those people over there, but not your neighbor's stuff.
No, you know? Whenever it gets to me, I'm gonna have a difference of opinion.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Garrick, your thoughts on this?
Okay, I'm reading I guess this is a religious site or something. I can't quite 100%, but you know, according to here, it's not so much that they're trying to prevent you from desiring. There's positive desire, you know, positive desire. Like, I desire to help out my fellow man. That's a positive desire. What they are fighting against is coveting something that that is not belonging to yours. And I think this goes back to...
Well, if you don't steal it, then what's the problem?
What?
If you don't steal it and you get one just like it, what's the problem?
But the problem becomes if you're so dedicated to it where it becomes almost your life. You know, it becomes all-consuming. You tend to lose a lot of other things. You know, and I'll take...
I can understand that. Not to belabor your point there. But I can understand it to a point. But you know, we don't live in those cookie cutter neighborhoods anymore. At least I don't, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't have exactly the same thing as everybody else. Everybody has Everybody has a difference of taste. That's right. Life is life. And ever since everybody has a different taste.
Unless you're in Texas, in which case you probably belong to a homeowners association.
Yeah. Well, there's those people down there too. Or California has those too, I imagine.
Waiting for Zach to respond.
But anyway, I just think, you know, since we all have different tastes, we're not necessarily going to want what our neighbor has.
But it's not so much of wanting what your neighbor has as much as it's the obsession, like Chaos Agent said, it's the obsession of it. That's what the fight is against. You know, it's okay. Because, I mean, it's like, if we don't want, how do we achieve for betterness? Or for a better life? Or a better whatever? That's not what the issue is. The issue is whenever it becomes an obsession where everything else is sacrificed.
Well, if you get an obsession, then you go see a psychiatrist.
That's right. And that's what I think the commandment is more about. Like I said, I'm looking on a religious site that discusses that, you know. So, I mean, if anyone's going to sit there and give the, you know, you shouldn't desire. And I look at it like this. You know, you're always fighting. You always want to discuss corporations and stuff like that. And, you know, should corporations be more giving? Yes, they should be. And, you know, we had the discussion the other day about stealing and all that. And, you know, I tried. I don't know if I did it effectively or not, to say that, you know, it's a two-way street. People shouldn't steal, but at the same time, we should all be more giving. And I kind of look at this coveting where it's like, you know, these people get money and they get more and more money, and then they stop focusing in on what they should be doing with the money, and that's helping out their fellow man.
You mean like oil companies?
Huh?
You mean like oil companies?
Oil companies, GE, who doesn't pay taxes.
I got more companies
to pay taxes. That's beside the point.
I
think we can get a good contrast on this if you look at the Quran.
Okay.
And the text used there, in what would be the 10th commandment, translated into English, is, "And do not covet what we bestowed upon any other people."
Yeah.
"Such are temporary ornaments of this life, whereby we put them to the test. Hmm. What your Lord provides for you is far better and everlasting."
Yeah. All right, now my question is, Eric, on this. Let's say I had some neighbors. Mm-hmm. They had a scooter. Okay.
Nice.
They had a scooter, yeah.
They
had a scooter, well, whatever. But, and I was like, oh, well, I want a scooter. I did get one, but after they moved out. Mm-hmm. So does this rule still apply if my neighbors had a scooter that I wanted a scooter too, but they've moved out and then I got it after the fact? Does that still apply? Are they still my neighbor at that point?
I look at, whenever we look at neighbor, I look at it as more of a all-encompassing thing. I mean, you know.
So no matter where they move, because I saw them with a scooter, then that still qualifies as the fact is if you see a TV commercial, because just because these people are across the country or wherever, they're still my neighbor.
Right. But, you know, I'm going to try and be a little more clear with it, in so much that, you know, it's not so much that you desire having a scooter. Like, if it benefits you in some way, shape, or form, hey, go for it. But the thing is that you can't desire your neighbor's scooter. Like, you know, and like I said, I think it basically goes back to that thought of,
so if I asked them what if they wanted to sell it? Or what if I went and asked them if they wanted to sell it?
That's a whole different thing, you know. That doesn't involve. It's whenever it becomes the obsession, and whenever it becomes the focus of your mission, where I need to have that scooter.
That's the thing about religion. There always seems to be a loophole, you know, into no matter what, whatever comes down. There's always seems to be a loophole. All right. Anyway, before we'll wrap this up real quick here, because we're gonna probably run long tonight. But is this a commandment that is still valid today in today's society? Dan, your thoughts?
You know, for myself, you know, I don't see it as, you know, like so many of the others. It's possibly relevant within a particular religious community or group, but I don't know most of my neighbors. I don't really consider most of my physical geographical neighbors my peers, which is probably a better word than neighbor to use in this particular instance.
Yeah, Eric. But, I'm sorry, Dan.
No, it's pretty much, you know, leave it up to the religious folks.
Yeah. Eric, your thoughts?
I still think, you know, there's some good behind it, you know. Again, you know, going back to the examples, I try my best to state and show reason for. I think there's some good that can come out of it, and I don't look at it as being. I think Zach put it best. It's not so much as being neighbor as to mean your fellow man, and this is a way of just saying, be a good person. You know, try and do your best to not, you know, just be a giant turd. to end it or anything. So I do think it has some meaning, and we can use it in our, this is one of those things that I think we can use it in our daily lives that will make us a better person.
Okay. Well, a quick wrap up on these Ten Commandments. I think we've exploited them pretty well. I think that, based on what we did on the last the shows that we've covered on this, I think there are only two, maybe three on here, they're actually still worth anything, and the rest are pretty much, well, garbage. At least from what I understand, from the way I've been following it. Of course, I'm the host. I have to follow this. But I think there's only been three that we're keeping around. The don't kill, don't steal, and no, there's only two, I guess.
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Yeah. But I think there's two or three. But I think maybe that was the only there was only two that were still worth anything in there. Well, and it says that don't commit adultery. So, of course, that's a whole other issue again there. But
and the false witness, because we've shown that one in the Casey Anthony.
Yeah, well,
no false witness.
Yeah, that was a little. Well, people lie.
People lie.
Unfortunately, people lie.
People do lie, but should it be allowed? Or should we accept that?
Yeah, well, we covered that last week, so.
How do you know?
Exactly. All right. Well, moving on to our next topic here. Our funny tweet comes from SAG December 15. It's SAG DEC 15. He retweets Katie Bell 23 says, "If your boss is getting you down, look at him through the prongs of fork and imagine him in jail." I had several other ones that came up I thought were pretty good, but I couldn't get a consensus in my house, so I figured, oh, this is the best one I came across. I mean, there have been times I'm going to start carrying a fork around when my boss starts getting upset because I start looking like, what are you doing? Imagine you in jail.
I'm going to get you a pair of sunglasses. I'm going to cut little vertical slits. And all day long, everybody you see, you can imagine them in jail.
Oh, that's priceless. That's kind of like the episode of South Park I just saw. Stan sees everybody as a big pilot, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh.
Because he's so cynical?
Yeah. Okay, this is basically the same thing. Eric, any thoughts on this?
Someone I know, I'm not going to say specifically who, but someone I know always tells the joke, and to kind of put it like this, he always says, you know, they have birds sitting on a wire, and then underneath them another group of birds, and then underneath that another group of birds, all of which are sitting on a wire, and when birds have bile movements, it all falls down, correct?
I would hope so.
And basically what happens is whenever the birds at the top look down, they see nothing but turds, and then whenever the birds at the bottom look up, they see nothing but buttholes. So now more colorful language was used, but since we're trying not to, you know.
I understand. That's kind of like
censor.
Yeah, that's kind of like if you've ever heard of the Upers, they have this the Uper tourist trap. It's up the UP. I've actually been there, and they have this one. It says a two-man toilet. It's a two-story outhouse. If I have to describe to you what a two-story outhouse would look like, you need to go and Google this. Because I cannot describe it any more than that.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout-out tonight, I believe, was Eric.
Yes, and so far everyone who's found out who it is has been very, very thrilled, except for Packard, who we are all going to turn our backs to.
Oh, yeah, just shun me. Just
he has been shunned.
I've been shunned on my own podcast. My bad. I don't follow writers. I'm sorry. I'm just like the kind of guy that...
But it's not just a writer. He's like the creator of creators.
Okay. All right, the person you're giving the shout-out for is...
Neil Gaiman, and it's at Neil himself. He is really a fantastic writer. I've become aware of him from writing a comic book series called Sandman. And for all of you who still think that comic books are nothing but superheroes and, you know, punching each other, you know, misogynistic or whatever you believe they are, you need to take a look at Sandman, because it's some of the most creative and beautiful writing. He's also written several books, many of which have become movies, such as Coraline and Stardust. Is Mirror Mask one of his? Does anyone know? Or is that just a Muppet thing?
I have no idea. I'm not on that one.
Let's see. Yes.
Yes.
He did write the story and the screenplay.
I'm getting signal from behind me that, yes, that is correct. Yes.
And we do have Mirror Mask on DVD. You should watch it.
And then on top of everything else, he wrote Doctor Who, and if Chaos Agent or your wonderful daughter, Packard, would tell me what episode it was. It was the
Doctor's Wife.
The Doctor's Wife, thank you very much. Yes. Which was a very fun, very interesting, and very good episode of Doctor Who.
Absolutely it was. My daughter was just like, this is his, wrote it, oh my God.
And then, in fact, everyone but Packard has watched the new, or Packard and Dan have watched the new Doctor Who.
No, I've seen every Doctor Who from John Pertwee up to the current Doctor. I've seen everything from I've seen all those. I've not seen the two previous Doctors. That's the only ones I have not seen. The first Doctor and second Doctor. Most of those ones are gone, lost the time because they erased the tapes because they figured, no one's gonna watch this again.
And that's a true tragedy.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's a true tragedy.
But you should watch if you haven't watched Doctor Who or Torchwood.
I missed most of Torchwood the first two seasons, but I'm starting to get it on now, and it's.
Something that Torchwood deals with, and it's dealing with death, and actually what is behind death, and it takes a very atheist view behind it. So you may actually enjoy Torchwood, and it's very well written and very well done.
I actually have caught the first episode of Torchwood, and I've caught a couple of episodes after that, but I kind of lost track of it because I've had a lot going on in my life, so I kind of it kind of fell off the radar.
Well, in order to fully appreciate Torchwood, in my opinion, you have to watch Doctor Who. That's the first season, second season, all the way up to the current season. Mm-hmm. It's really some good stuff. If you're not watching it and you're a sci-fi buff, go for it.
Oh, yeah. Zach would say that really Torchwood is really creepy. I kind of agree. It was like a little bizarre. No one's dying. And it's like, but people are still being born. And it's kind of weird what's going on there. So. But anyway, I want to thank everybody that's coming to the chat room, and we didn't run over too far. That's really good. If you have any questions you'd like to drop us or complaints, whatever, you can drop them off at Formspring.
I have no thoughts.
at Formspring/PackardPokesAt or PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. Or you can reach Dan on Twitter as I Have No Thoughts. I am going to love saying that. But Eric, go ahead and spell that for the chat room because I typed it in a couple times. I mistyped it. I had to wait till you actually retweeted it. I had to actually find it in my followers list. So spell it for the chat room, please.
And there you go.
There you go. Nice. And Dan is on Twitter as?
Relatively Unrelated. That's RELUNRELATED. Rel Unrelated.
That's right. And I am on Twitter as Packard_Sonic. You can follow it's PACKARD_SONIC. And you can always find the podcast at PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com or on iTunes if you so desire to use it to look for it there. And we've been there since day one, I believe. So if I would like to, again, thank everybody for the chat room. And Chaos Agent, yes, I do need to go deeper. I would like to go. I want to see those previous episodes before John Pertwee. But he was a marvelous actor. He's greatly missed. Anyway, thank you, for everybody, for coming. And any last thoughts for the night, gentlemen? Yes, no, crickets?
My Twitter crickets. Account says it all. No, but in all reality, I want to give my heartfelt. I really hope we focus in on what's going on with Norway, and we don't do like we did to Japan. And basically, until something new came around, we lost sight because Japan is still dealing with a lot of the problems with the earthquakes and stuff like that.
Right.
So I would like to give my heartfelt sincerity and prayers to the people over there that they can get through this tragic time. And I really hope that y'all can bring the people who did this to justice, whichever way y'all feel is right.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming, and that's it for us.
And that's a wrap.